Hi, my name is Christine Kamara. I'm from Denmark, and this episode is brought to you by Bernd Zugel. Did you know that Bernd Zugel offers all the features you need to build a professional website for your music? This all-in-one platform includes dozens of customizable templates, tools to sell your music, and live support from their musician-friendly team 7 days a week. This is the perfect resource for independent artists to design a stunning website to grow their fan base. All MPW podcast listeners can also get 15% off their first year subscription by going to www.bandzugel.com and entering the promo code MPW.
What am I saying?
This is MPW,
the podcast with your host,
Zylo Aria.
Cool.
A podcast about music production
for the everyday musician,
where we learn from experienced studio engineers and each other.
Zoe Thrall is a engineer and studio manager with over 40 years of experience in the music industry. She worked as an engineer with Steven Van Zandt and toured with his band The Disciples of Soul. As a studio manager, she has managed studios such as The Hit Factory, The Palms, and most recently, The Hideout in Las Vegas, where artists such as Carlos Santana to Kendrick Lamar have recorded. Well, lovely to have you join us today, Zoe. It's great to chat to you. And we'll jump right into the random fact. So I'd love to hear something about you that maybe not that many people know.
Okay. I love to cook. And I do look at it in a similar way to making records. I mean, you know, there's a lot of creative aspects to it.
Yeah.
Especially in the mixing part. So I love experimenting and cooking. So that's like my chill down. I go home. People are surprised to hear that I cook every night, which I do. But that's the way I relax after a long day.
Wow. Okay. That is, I think, amazing these days to hear anyone cooking every night. It's a luxury, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Are there any specific cuisines or, particular dishes you love to cook?
Well, I'm Greek, so I tend to kind of lean on those kind of dishes, but I'll try anything. I love Indian food. I love Asian food. So, you know, sky's the limit.
Okay.
You know, all the different spices. I love all the aspects of experimenting with spice and so forth. So
That's great. I actually just finished recording an episode with a mixing engineer, and she also mentioned that her favorite thing is cooking, and it reminds her of mixing. So maybe there's this like
wow, okay.
Yeah, maybe there's a connection there, which is great. So talking a little bit about time travel, is there an event in your life that you would change, or if not particularly change, is there one event in your life that you think you've learned the most from?
This is kind of out there because I had this opportunity to do a screen test, you know, acting in a film. I have no acting experience. I had no desire to be an actor. But just by sheer coincidence, I crossed paths with a casting director who wanted me to go to an audition for this film. And the reason she wanted me to audition was because the character in the film was very similar in ways and mannerisms as I was. It's like, oh, all right, whatever. I mean, I just didn't, you know, whatever. It sounds like a fun thing, right? So I did go, and there were hundreds and hundreds of people at the audition. It was an open casting call. But when I went, I kind of overthought what their expectation was going to be. Instead of just going as myself, which is exactly what she wanted me to do, I kind of dressed in a different way that I don't normally dress, and I kind of just totally overthought it. So the lesson was, just be yourself, you know? And in the end, they did consider letting me go further in the audition process, but they went with, you know, as a seasoned actor. And when I finally saw the film, I did realize why they wanted me to audition for it. And, you know, things happen for a reason. But the lesson, that's the point of this whole story, the lesson was listen closely to the advice people give you and just be yourself.
Okay, I love that. But
I mean, I wouldn't even know how I would deal with going to an audition where no. you see, you know, hundreds of other people, and I feel like it'd be quite hard to be yourself. So that seems like a natural reaction, but I think that's a great lesson and good one to keep in mind. And if you were on a desert island and you could only pick three songs or three albums to bring with you, what would they be?
Definitely Bob Marley.
Okay.
And two of the records would be Bob Marley. I would do Legend and Exodus. Because they are records that, well, how more appropriate than a desert island than having Bob Marley.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I just don't tire of them. And the third record would be Springsteen's Born to Run, because that was kind of the record that got me into the industry, you know, or interested in the industry. And so I feel it'd be like tipping my hat to that. And I don't tire of that record either. So I think those would be my three records.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
That's great. And yes, definitely very, very appropriate.
I love Marley though, so I had to pick two of his albums.
Yeah, fair enough. So what is the first thing you do in the morning and the last thing you do at night?
I have a cup of hot water with, this is the morning obviously, cup of hot water with fresh ginger, fresh apple, and fresh squeezed orange juice in it. And I just feel like that just cleanses your whole thing and gets your day going. And at night, wash your face and brush your teeth.
Okay. It's funny that you say this with a laugh, like it's an obvious thing. But yeah, I mean, especially speaking to people in their kind of 20s and 30s, and it's funny how many of these things revolve around the phone or the technology. So it's actually really refreshing to hear that that wasn't something that you even mentioned slightly.
Or maybe the very last thing. I usually don't need an alarm, but sometimes I just want to make sure I'm up and setting the alarm.
Yes. Okay. That's a good one. Always a good one. And who would you say has been your greatest role model?
I have incredible admiration for Nelson Mandela. Now, obviously, I could never do the things he did or be like him, but I admire how much he sacrificed in his life, and he sacrificed it for a greater ideal, right, for the betterment of his society. And I just feel like if each of us just did a little bit of that every single day, the world would be a better place.
So talking a little bit about your career, and you've done lots of different things in audio, but looking specifically as your work as a studio manager, can you tell me a little bit about what a typical day might look like for you managing a studio?
I like being the first one in the studio, no matter what time the sessions start. And the reason for that is I like checking the rooms and making sure that they're up to our standard every day, you know, that everything's neat, clean, tidy. Once the staff starts coming in to prep for the sessions, then I just make sure they have everything they need. And then the clients start arriving and I greet them. Then the course of the day is very typical of calls regarding studio time, negotiating deals for the studio time, whether it be for rates, etc., making sure all the needs of the sessions are there, whether it be from a technical perspective, you know, whatever their setups are, the equipment that they need, what they're doing in the session. Is it just a vocal? Is it a full tracking session? What microphone, you know, do I have an input list from the engineer? That kind of thing. And then relaying that information to our staff. And then, you know, collections, billing, all that other fun stuff. The stuff we hate doing, the paperwork.
Yeah, lots of air quotes there, by the way, for the audio listeners. Yeah.
And maintaining the relationships with the clients, the record companies, etc. So that's a very, very typical day.
Okay. Sounds like lots of different skills required there, which I'm sure keeps things interesting all the time.
It can be.
Okay. Okay. I wonder actually, is it quite seasonal, the work in a studio, and are there specific peak times as in terms of schedule?
In some ways, yes, some ways, no. But yes, in that the summer, look, we're in Las Vegas and it gets extremely hot here in the summer. And I would say if there was a slower time for our particular market, it would be the summer. I don't know if people like to spend a long time if they're not used to our environment. Of course, we acclimated to it, so we're used to it. But if you're coming in from out of town, it might not be, you know, when it's 110 degrees every day, your ideal situation. But other than that, during the rest of the year, it's pretty steady, you know, it's pretty consistent. But even different than when I was in New York, even the holiday season can be busy here in Las Vegas simply because people do travel during the holiday seasons to come to Vegas. So that was an interesting difference comparing New York to this market.
Yeah, that's an interesting one, thinking about the seasonality of studios depending on the location really and what's going on there. And are there typical types of producers or artists that you say that you work really well with?
Well, you know, we work with all genres of artists, so I wouldn't say there's a specific genre. But regarding producers, I really gravitate to producers that are well-prepared and organized and not wasting time in the studio. So you find that with more seasoned producers, obviously. There was a production team, Tricky Stewart and The Dream. They were responsible for a number of pop hits, you know, like Rihanna's Umbrella, Beyonce's Single Ladies, Justin Bieber's Baby, and on and on. They had hundreds of hits, highly successful. And they spent a lot of time with us here in Las Vegas. And what I found was it was almost like a machine in terms of how they would prepare every day for who were they going to work on, or who did they have in mind for a song, or what musicians do they need around them that day. It just was very, very organized. Another one is a little Steven Van Zandt, who I worked with for many years, was well prepared before going into the studio. And I just appreciate, maybe I learned it from him, I just appreciate the respect that gives the musicians and everybody else that's around them making the record. It's a sign of respect. And maybe the third one was Phil Ramone, who, oh God, you know, has done hundreds of amazing records. You know, he could be really tough on people, the staff, the engineers, but at the same time, very endearing. And he was the consummate music guy, very deeply involved with the music and record making process. So those are examples of the type of people, the type of producers I like working with.
Okay. So you mentioned, I guess this comes with experience maybe, and people get better at that, hopefully. For someone that maybe is new to the process and hasn't really booked a big studio, for example, do you have any tips for them to become better prepared, and what do they need to think about?
Part of my job is the education part for the client. So, you know, we do have a lot of first-time clients, first time they've come to a big studio. And I think it's part of my responsibility, part of my job to explain, to manage their expectations of what to expect for the time that they're booking. A really good example of this is a young artist, it's first time in, they have maybe one or two songs they want to do, and they book 4 or 5 hours, and they expect that they're going to get a pop hit out of that, you know, or they're going to sound like Drake after that session. You know what I mean? Like the record's going to sound like this completely beautifully produced record that took weeks and weeks to do. But so I have to explain to them that your expectations aren't realistic to expect that you're going to sound like the record on the radio in 3 or 4 hours. So part of my job is teaching that. The other thing that is a little annoying these days is the last minute booking. And this happens, it's not going to change. I realize that now, but it's very common for people to expect the studio to be open on the day they call you. And then they get upset if the time is not available. It's like, well, you're calling me today for a session today, you know, or there's staff issues because it's a last minute thing. So I think if you take a little time to think about what is entailed to getting a session prepared for you to come in, then you might realize that you have to anticipate your needs a little more.
Okay. And when you spoke about the education part on having realistic expectations, so a song that the team behind Umbrella or Single Ladies were kind of working on, how long would they potentially book a studio for a song like that?
Well, they would come in for weeks at a time. Now, the one song, all right, so if you want to say a specific song, well, look, it'll take a couple days to record it, but then the mix process could take, overdubs too, sorry. Then there's overdubs. So it's it could take a couple weeks, let's say, for a song of that caliber to be produced. Because there's a lot of back and forth between the label and the mixer and the producer and the blah, 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 you know, and a lot of input, etc. So it takes a lot of time.
So speaking to someone where maybe it is a first time for them, or maybe that they don't have the budget to book a studio for 2 weeks for a song, for example, what would you say to them as far as when should they book the studio for in their creation process? Is it in the writing process, or is it after they've got a full demo? And how do they make the most of their time there?
I always tell them, be as prepared as possible before you come into the studio. So I don't recommend for first-time artists to do the writing process in the studio. That's okay for like the seasoned professionals that are at the top of their game and so forth, because they're inspired by the environment and so forth. But for a new artist to try to spend time writing the song in the studio, I just think is a waste of money. They can do that at home. Then after that, it depends on the kind of record it is, because like obviously a rock record is going to require a full band setup versus a pop record, which is all done, you know, electronically and so forth. So those kind of records are made in very different ways. And a lot of people, now let's talk about really raw entry-level artists, like young entry-level. A lot of these kids are getting beats off the internet. So now we're talking about someone coming in with a stereo track and then wanting to do a vocal or a rap over it and then mixing it. You know, you can do that in 3 or 4 hours. But how much can we carve out of a stereo track in a mix? Not much. It's like unbaking a cake. You can't. You know, you can't take the milk out. You can't take the butter out once it's all mixed. Well, that's what I try to explain to the kids that bring in, you know, a stereo track that they want us to mix again. So again, they go back to the education process. That's part of the education process, teaching them to keep their expectations realistic and how the process works.
Yeah, I guess so many things there for someone new to think about, which I don't know if it's spoken about that often, but it seems really important. And are there common problems that you encounter as a studio manager?
It could be staffing issues, you know? I mean, here at the Hideout, we have a really good crew, so it's rare when I have personnel issues, but that can be an issue, you know? That's part of management, though, you know, is the kind of human resources aspect of it, too. It's not just clients, it's the internal staff, too. So you have to be on top of that, you know?
Okay. Well, speaking of that, are there specific skills that you think are really important when it comes to being a good studio manager?
I think having good people skills, a lot of patience, being very adaptable to change, you know, having a genuine interest in the record making process. You know, I really like to stay on top of current technology. I love talking to engineers about how they make records. I think those skills are all important in this kind of position.
Yeah. Okay. And you mentioned before the importance of maintaining relationships with labels and engineers and everyone else. Are there specific things that you do to make sure that you maintain that relationship?
I think having a lot of attention to detail translates in a client becoming loyal to you. Like that good service, being really aware of their specific needs. And I think if you do that, then you'll have a returning customer all the time.
Great thing to think about. And is there one skill that you think is really important to your job that you had no idea before you started that you needed to know?
One thing I didn't know was how truly 24/7 the job is, that the phone rings all night, that you have to answer it. And so I think to make people aware of that, if they're going to enter a business like this, they should be aware of that. It can disrupt your life sometimes and your lifestyle. The weekends, the phone rings, the nighttime, the phone rings. So just be aware that you have to be flexible enough and open enough to answer that phone when it comes in. And that's true for the engineers too. They have to be very flexible. Because why? Because I said earlier, the sessions get booked at the last minute. It's not unheard of for me to call an engineer and they could be out to dinner and saying, you got to be here in a couple hours of a session. And they know that they have to drop everything they're doing to accommodate that. So it's a lifestyle that's not really suited for a lot of people. Now I'm talking about the side of commercial studio recording. So that's something to be really aware of if you want to enter this side of the business.
So just going to our little speed quiz now, Zoe. We have five questions and I would like your quickest answer. Are you ready?
Go.
All right, Mac or PC?
Oh, Mac, for sure.
Same. Spotify or Apple Music?
Apple Music.
Live DJ or live band?
Ooh, live band.
Okay. Digital or analog?
Ooh. I can't believe I'm going to say this. I'm going to say digital.
Oh, my God.
I can't believe it. I can't believe I'm saying it. It's probably the first time I said it. But there's a reason for it.
Okay. Quality or vibe?
Ooh, wow. I know it's supposed to be quick, but vibe.
Vibe, okay. So that was good. That was great. Not the speediest of quizzes, but no. It was still good.
Sorry.
No, that's good. That's good. So actually tell me about the digital or analog. What was the thinking behind the digital?
Look, come on. When I was engineering, it was analog all the way. And it's the sound quality. I mean, we know this. The sound quality is superior. But what digital offers is a lot more flexibility and better tools. And, you know, you could start analog, but in the end, you're going to end up digital anyway, and you might as well have at your disposal as many tools as possible. So if it had to be one or the other, I would have to say digital.
So taking us to your top tips, Zoe, do you have one top career tip for people?
If you're in a job like this and someone asks you to do something and you're not sure of how to do it, do not guess. Either seek out the answer on your own to get the right way to do something or ask someone who has more experience than you. And if it's something that's urgent and you don't have time to research it, then say so and you don't want to make a mistake is the point. And you'll be much more respected for explaining that you don't understand the task that you have been given than if you make a mistake.
Okay. And do you have one top self-care tip?
I'd say have balance in your life. So don't go to extremes with any one aspect of your life. So don't overeat. Don't even overexercise. Don't overwork. And even when it comes to fun, don't do too much of that either. Just balance everything together. And I think that makes for a better lifestyle.
Okay. And the next one, I feel like your current tip might also be a general life tip, but do you have another general life tip?
Be true to yourself. And what I mean by that is if you find yourself in a situation, let's say a work situation or a relationship situation that's not suited for you, don't drag it out. Be honest with yourself. Say it's time to cut ties, either whether it's a job, whether it's a relationship. Life is short. You deserve it to be honest with your choices. And that could be scary sometimes. But in the end, in the long term, you're going to be much happier for it.
Okay. Love that. And a great way to end the podcast there. So thank you so much, Zoe. It's been such a pleasure and really lovely hearing your thoughts on a few different things there.
And Zylo, thank you very much for asking me to participate. And I really like the work you're doing. So thank you.
No problem. Thanks so much. All right. Have a good day, Zoe. Thank you.
Okay. You too.